Could you say that? Could you say that? Is it real in your life? I want to throw some other images up there for a moment. Some places that we all have to go at some time or another in our lives. And when you see the image come up, think about what are your feelings related to that place. And this is participation time. So I'd like for you to kind of shout out your first feeling, your first reaction when you see these buildings that are fixing to come up. You ready? That means you don't sit there quietly. And those who are watching and worshiping by live stream, you can shout at the TV. We may not hear that, of course, but you can participate. So, here's the first one. The Carvert Courthouse. Man, that seemed like a pretty... Taxes was kind of... Any other? There's courts that go on there too, you know. And I remember the day when that's where you went to get your driver's license. It's kind of relocated at the DMV now, but that used to be in the basement of the courthouse. Here's the next one. Doctor's office. Did I hear evil over there? Needles. Oh, okay. Man, that's just about as bad as evil, isn't it? I didn't hear very many good responses there either. Well, let's try one more. Grocery store. Food. Oreos. Special food. That sounds like maybe enjoyable to a certain extent. One that this morning said, it's a quick drop in and get out as quick as I can. Doesn't that always happen that way? You know, one thing's very clear. I didn't hear the word love related to any one of those places. We all have to go. Every one of them's a place that we have to go at some point or another in our lives. There wasn't a lot of enjoyment on some of those. It did sound like it kind of changed when it got to food and Oreos or whatever your favorite food is. But it's still not that place that we love to go. We have to go. Doesn't sound like we really enjoy much about going either. You don't have to respond this time, but here's one other image. Our church. Our church. Can you really say, as the ones in the video, I love my church? Or let me ask it another way. Is the church a place we feel we have to go, or is it a place we enjoy going? The place that we feel we have to go. Or is it really a place that we enjoy going? The courthouse is a place we have to go periodically. I mean, if you're old enough to have your driver's license, when you get a renewal, you've got to go there. If you're going to get married, you got license to get there. There's reasons. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good, but it's a place we have to go. Obviously, it's nice to have a doctor's office to go to when we need it. Even though we dread parts of that. And we do enjoy food, most of us do. I enjoy that it's fixed, but I don't always enjoy going to get it. Is that the way we treat the church, as a place we have to go? I was talking to one just 2 weeks ago who asked about our church. And then when she said, can I come, it hit me. She didn't see it as an open place. Can I come And it reminds me, in our culture today, there are many that believe the church is not open to them. It's not a place that they can come. So it's definitely not a place that they look forward to and enjoy. Is the church a place you go out of obligation? Or do you go out of love for your Savior and to worship your Lord? I don't believe God intended the church to be a place that we dreaded, place that we feel obligated to, or a place that we fit in whenever it's convenient to us. I believe God wants us to love His church. I believe God wants us to love His church. Now, let me be clear. When I talk about His church, I'm not talking about all the stuff that gets related to church in the news today. And I'm not talking about all the stuff that goes on in the institutions that have become church in our world today. And I'm not even talking about a building that we associate. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the family of faith, those that God has called into His family through relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe God wants us to love His church, His family. That's what this new series is about. What it means to really love His church. And we're going to look at it in various ways through Scripture. This morning I want to turn to the 13th chapter of John. The 13th chapter of John. Let me just set the scene for a second. This is Jesus' last night with the disciples. Before going to the cross, He would celebrate the Passover with the disciples. And you remember, John's the one who records that as they came, he took the role of the servant and washed their feet. And then when he sat down, he said, "If I, your master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." Giving us a demonstration of the kind of love that we're to share. Then he would, during the meal, say, "One of you will betray me." He said to another, "You will deny me. And the others will desert me." And yet, knowing all about them, He still broke bread with them. "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood, the new covenant shed for you." Pointing to the cross that He would go to. And then in the remainder of that night, He would share about what it would mean to live as His family. He'd tell us that He was going away, but He wasn't going to leave us alone because He's going to send us the power of His Holy Spirit to go with us. Before He gets into that teaching, He reminds us of the key to the church. Verses 34 and 35. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Here's the key point I hear for us today. Loving one another is not optional. It's not optional for Christ followers. It's Jesus' command to us. We don't pick and choose this love, whether we're going to love or not. It's not optional for us. It's what Jesus calls us to do, commands us to do, expects us to do with one another. But we know that. I mean, if you've been in church, you know that love is what He expects us. You know that He gave us two great commandments, to love God with all of our being and to love one another. So we love ourselves. But what does this kind of love really look like? That's the question, isn't it? What does this love really look like? Because we live in a world where love is used for a lot of different things. The Friday leading into Labor Day weekend, we hosted the Deschler football team for a breakfast here. I didn't get to go to the game because we left right after that. Gina and I, it was our weekend to go up and check on her dad and see what we could do to help out. So I didn't see the game, but I kind of kept up with it online, social media. And I noticed some posts. Man, I love this new field. And it does look good, doesn't it? But you love a field? Earlier this year, there was a new restaurant opened here in downtown Tuscumbia. Superheroes. Quite an unusual name. And when it first opened up, I noticed several posts. I love this new restaurant. I love my experience there. Love a restaurant? Is that what love is? A couple weekends ago, Gina and I were down to celebrate two grandchildren's birthdays. We celebrated with Kate on Friday night, and then on that Saturday was the celebration for Charlie's first birthday. And so Gina and I went down from Kristen's home to Bethany's home that Saturday morning so that she could help Bethany get ready for the last things and cook a few items. And so my role was to take the grandchildren out of the house for a while. And so we put Charlie in the stroller and Patterson, well, sometimes pushed and sometimes didn't want to push the stroller. Patterson's five. And we walked around the neighborhood until Patterson got tired. And Charlie and I went a little bit longer because he seemed to be comfortable and he needed to stay out and be quiet, if possible. And when I got back, there's Patterson, and he runs up to me and gives me, as he often does, a big hug and looks up with his eyes and says, "I love you, Grumps." Now, I tell you, that's a different kind of love than loving a football field or loving a restaurant. You see, I believe that when Jesus told us to love one another, He was talking about a relational love. A relational love. And we need to define it that way because in our culture, we use love to speak of all kind of things. But He calls us into a relational love with one another. You see, I can go to a restaurant and enjoy the experience, enjoy the food. I can post on social media about it. I can share with my friends about it. Or if I didn't like it, I could post I didn't like it and tell people I didn't like it. I mean, but notice what it's about. It's about me. It's about my experience and what I wanted out of it and what I got out of it. It's about me. That's not a relational love. A relational love is an intentional love. It's Patterson running up to Gina and myself and giving us a hug and say, "I love you. I love you." And it is us loving Him not because He's always lovable. Because He's a boy, 5 years old. And sometimes He's very lovable and sometimes, well, the other side of Him comes out. But you know, that's true of me and you too, isn't it? Because we're a mixture of that. Unless you've become perfect in Jesus, you're still part of sin in your life. But it's not what He does or what He doesn't do. It's who He is that makes me love Him. Care for Him. Want to play with Him. It's because I love Him and He loves me that I'm willing to go, "Grumps, you want to play with me?" I don't know how many games I got to play yesterday as I was keeping the kids while Gina and Bethany ran out for a little bit and they'd been at a conference. I did learn that for a five-year-old today, hide and seek is a little different than it was when I was a child. And the rules get changed as you go along, depending on who's hiding and how it's going. And I played not because I necessarily enjoyed it all, but because I love him. That's a relational love. So what is a relational love? Here's the best thing I can share. The best example of love that we're to share is the love God has for us in Jesus. That's the ultimate relational love. It's the love referred to in our scripture when he says, just as I have loved you, you should love one another. So how does he love us? Well, one of the great testimonies of his love is John 3:16. It's what Martin Luther called the Bible in miniature. Now, I was reading the other week from that passage. I know it like you know it. But I read it in a different translation, the New Living Translation. And man, it really spoke to me. Listen to it. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is how, this is what it looks like, in other words. That He loved the world so much that He gave His Son to redeem us. It's an intentional, sacrificial love. For here's the truth. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. And sin separates us from God. It breaks our relationship with God. And we can't straighten it out. We can't act correctly. Read Romans 7 and hear Paul's confession. Even when I want to do what's right, I mess up. God understands that, but He still loves you and loves me. And so He sent His Son to reestablish our relationship with Him. Earlier this week, Gene and I were going through the Ark up in Kentucky, and they had a section of just powerful scriptures there. And one of them was Romans 5:8. And Gina said, that is your favorite verse. I said, yep, and I'm going to share it Sunday. God proves His love for us, and that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's love. Not that we're worthy, not that we're deserving, but that God chose to love us, that in the midst of our sin, Christ died for you and to me to restore our relationship with Him. Now, here's what we often forget. This love that reestablished our relationship with God also brought us into His family, the church. This very same love that God had for us to restore our relationship with Himself is what brings us into relationship with His family. So that in our scripture, He tells us that the witness that we have to the world is how we love one another in His family. Hear that? The witness that tells the world our relationship with God is how we love His family. Michael Green, in his book, Evangelism in the Early Church, said that the reason the early church grew in such a powerful way in the midst of opposition, in the midst of persecution, was no one had witnessed a love like those early Christians had for one another. And that love drew the pagan world in, wanting to experience that kind of unconditional, self-giving, self-sacrificing love. Not about me kind of love. Not about me kind of life. But a love that loved like Jesus loved. And that's what we're called to be. We're called to be a family that loves one another. That cares for one another. It's not just a group that gets together and sits in a worship service and then goes our way. We're to be a family where we care for one another, where we weep with one another, and where we rejoice for one another. It ought to be something that draws us, demonstrates us. But what does this intentional, or let me say this first. The reality is that there are people who treat the church like a restaurant rather than a family. They treat it like a restaurant that they kind of, well, that's a good experience, I'm going back. Or it wasn't too good, so I'm not going back. It's about what I'm getting out of it. Rather than treat it as a relationship of a family that I'm committed to. And families have problems at times. Families don't always get along at times. There were some moments driving over this past week from here to Kentucky and then to Nashville and getting around in Nashville and hear that Gina was on GPS trying to give me instructions and she'd say this and then she'd say, "You're not supposed to be over there. You're supposed to be going this way." Because I had heard the second command but not the first command. Y'all don't have that problem, do you? And sometimes my response wasn't always the nicest response. Because I was getting, "Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong road. You told me wrong, Gina." "No, you weren't listening, Rudy. Y'all don't have that kind of conversation." You see, relationships aren't always perfect. And a restaurant kind of love is not going to sustain it. It's got to be a God love. A God love that loves unconditional, that accepts one another as they are, that forgives one another. That love that's in Jesus Christ. So what does this intentional, relational love for the church look like? And I want to share four things. This kind of love happens as love by connecting to His family. You see, this love that God has for us, He wants us to connect to His family. He wants us to be in relationship with His family. We see this in the early church as the second chapter of Acts describes that early church birth at Pentecost. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In other words, they were spending time together. But I want you to notice something here. Three of the four disciplines that are mentioned work better in small groups. Breaking the bread is an act of worship, and it works better in the gathered community where God has different gifts that enables us to worship. Because in my small group, we need these folks up here to do true worship. You can worship anywhere, but to experience it. But you experience the teaching, the fellowship, and the prayers in small groups. So one of the reasons we're encouraging everyone to get in a small group during these next 5 weeks. If you haven't done so, there's an app. You can go to the church app and sign up. Or there are sign-up cards out in the Welcome Center that has the listing of all the small groups. One of them be taking place right after this service. Another one this evening and then in the coming days. Get involved. Here's the second thing. Love by serving. You know, the reason I was out there playing those games yesterday with the grandchildren is because I love them. Love serves. And so it is with the family of God. Love serves. And here's the amazing thing is God has given you supernatural powers with which to serve. They're called spiritual gifts. And He gives every believer spiritual gifts in order to serve others in Jesus' name. How are you using your gifts to serve? If you're a believer, how are you using your gifts to serve others? We're going to look into that in a couple of weeks. And then that day we're going to have a ministry fair where you can visit down in the fellowship hall all these experiences of ministry that's taken place through this church and where you might connect and where you might serve. And then love by giving. Isn't that what God modeled for us? He loved us so much that He gave. And we're called to love by giving. Now, many, when they hear a church talk about giving, they said, well, here comes the tithing sermon. Well, it's not going to be the tithing sermon that day because really it's beyond the tithe. Love is a giving lifestyle like God gave to us. And we're going to look at what that means to live as body of Christ, giving ourselves to one another. And then love is sharing. We love by sharing. And that's by sharing what we've experienced so that others might experience it. Because there's a world out there that needs to know that God loves them. And that they can have this relationship with God, but they're never going to experience it unless we share it. So it's sharing. So I want to challenge you to make this next month a priority of being in the community of faith as we learn together what it really means to be intentionally loving one another as Christ has loved us. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you've never opened your life to Jesus, that's the starting place. This morning, if that's your case, I prayed for you. I don't know who they were, but I knew that we'd have some here today that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I prayed during our chapel time for you that you would hear the knock of God on your heart, that call of God into a relationship. And then if that's where you are, there's a prayer at the bottom of your message notes that can help you make that relationship and journey into that. But for those of us who are followers of Christ, and for those of you who are ready to make that decision and become a follower of Jesus, I have a challenge for you. Let people know that you love your church this week. Let people know. Now, there's several ways to do that, but one of them is to take some of these signs, or take a sign with you. Oh, the metal pieces that you can put them up in your yard with are out there as well. You'll see them in the welcome area. Take it and put it out in your yard to let people see your demonstration of love and enter into conversation with you. Also, remember last week we talked about praying for God to identify someone that you could share His love and His church with by inviting. There's still some of the invitation tickets out there that you could do, because if you love God, what better way than to share it? Because isn't that what you do when you love something, you share? I mean, we've had some births recently. Saw some sharing of that glorious event in life. Well, the greatest birth that can take place is our new birth in Jesus Christ. And nothing more important than to share that love with others and to invite someone. And I encourage you to bring somebody with you. Bring somebody to your small group. Bring someone to worship. So where are you today? Is it a have to or love to when it comes to living in His family, the church? Let us pray. God, we thank You for Your presence, Your love. And we know that we love because You first loved us. Lord, ground us in that love and fill us with that love so that we overflow to one another and to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.